159 Ivy Street, Chapter 10. Truth can get you hurt and bruised. Brad, are you still there? Josephine's voice slipped through the phone, soft and warm and entirely unaware that it was detonating a quiet bomb 300 miles away. Peb, Broaden said, lowering his voice. Yeah, I'm here. There was a pause, a breath held too long. I don't want to lie to you, he said. You'd better sit down, please. The words sounded heavier than he intended. Ominous. Dangerous. The pressure was mounting, and there was no escape. Tell the truth and hope for the best. A risky proposition, but it just may be the best option. On the other end of the line, Josephine sank deeper into the tub, holding her breath in her cozy tub. However, the water's warmth no longer provided the soothing relief a moment ago. Before the call to Broaden, the anticipation was welcomed with delight. Now, it's pins and needles waiting for the axe to fall. Brad, what is it? What's wrong? Lisa watched Broaden from her seat like a woman watching a door slowly close. She was beside herself while fuming that Bradley had left the table to attend to his call from whomever it may be. She was not one to easily accept that she's not in control. Then having Emily and Josh at the table made it impossible to tolerate the entire situation. Emily felt awkward that no one was speaking while sporadically glancing over at Broaden by the bar. Emily, let's go back to our table and leave these people to their dinner, okay? Josh, you go ahead, I just want to talk to Lisa, you know, girl talk. Okay, you want me to wait? Josh sensed that tonight would not be his lucky night. Little did he know that it would soon be permanent. Actually, no, Josh. Why don't you go on home? I don't know how long I will stay. Please go ahead without me. I will call you later. Josh felt the chill from his dismissal, and it seemed intentional rather than being in the moment. He got up and walked back to his table to get his coat. After paying the check, Josh walks over to Emily to say goodnight. So I will talk to you later. Sure, but I may be late, Josh, so don't wait up. Good night and thanks for dinner. Okay, good night. Will I see you tomorrow? I don't know, Josh, maybe bye. Josh didn't like the tone. It sounded harsh with a hint of permanence. He hid his disappointment with a half-smile as he headed toward the door. Josh saw Broaden by the bar, then he looked back at Emily. He realized that she was watching Broaden from her chair. It gave him a sinking feeling to understand why he had been dismissed or, worse, replaced. Josh stood there a moment longer, searching her face for something, anything that would tell him he still belonged. He found nothing. Lisa, what a coincidence that you and Broaden happen to be here. Do you guys chill together often? Lisa didn't like being questioned, in the manner of an inquisition, about something clandestine. What a nosy bitch. It's none of your F hash at King business. Nothing special. Bradley and I are good friends and have been for a long time. We didn't have any plans for New Year's Day, so we came here. That was a great party last night, Lisa. So when are you leaving us? What the hell? She can't wait to get rid of me, or what? Emily, I don't know yet and why all the questions. You can't wait to get rid of me or something. Emily realized that she had been a little too pushy and felt embarrassed by her inquisitiveness. I'm sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean anything by it. I was just curious. Can I ask you one more question? Promise. What do you want to know? I'm tired of all these questions. What is it? It was obvious that Lisa was out of patience, and it really wasn't about Emily. Bradley, who the F hash at K are you talking to for so goddamn long? Okay, the last question. Is Broaden single or is he seeing someone? Emily's question was the last straw setting Chicago on fire. The air shifted violently. Lisa stood so abruptly that her chair scraped loudly against the floor. What the F hash at K, Emily? You just got here, and you think you want to have a stab at Bradley? My Bradley? What the hell is your problem? Lisa immediately regretted the words that came out of her mouth, and the tone like a whip with knotted lashes. Emily blinked, stunned, then was somewhat amused to witness Lisa's reaction. Emily had touched on a sensitive topic, Lisa's true feelings for Broaden. It may have been a moment of self-claim or possessive jealousy, but it was evident that Broaden was a wanted man. Lisa, take it easy, I didn't mean anything by it. I was just curious. I didn't know you guys were together. Emily, we are nothing after tonight. Lisa had enough of Emily and Bradley and this town of broken hearts. The words burned her tongue as she spoke them. She grabbed her purse and coat, her hands shaking now. She looked once toward the bar and thought that this might be her last look at her Bradley. Peb, if I haven't said it before, I want to be crystal clear. I have fallen in love with you. Don't ask me why or how. I know in my heart that is where I have kept you since Christmas. My heart stops during the day, but then it awakens and beats to the sound of your voice. You have me, and I love every second of it. Jos was absorbing every syllable and every word that resonated in her ears and into her heart. But something was missing that had yet to be told. "Brad, what else did you want to tell me? You wanted to tell me something before, and I feel it will hurt. What is it?" Braden had no choice but to fess up to everything about his cell phone, coat, and who brought it over, where he was and who he was having dinner with. It had been an insane day of circumstances, and it was only the first day of the new year. Would there be enough days left to breathe for the rest of the year? "Jos, Lisa and I have a past. I don't want to get into details, but we were more than friends, but that was a long time ago. We remained close friends, my best friend for the last few years. When I left the party last night so I could get home to be with you, Lisa got worried when I ran out. Then, you know, I forgot my coat with my phone and my house keys. Lisa brought them over to the house this morning. That was how I was able to answer your call with my cell. Then my phone died, and, well, we ended up at the restaurant near the office tonight. Lisa is leaving for California, and this is our goodbye dinner. That's what I wanted to tell you. It didn't go well the last time we spoke when I mentioned her name, so I was afraid. I was afraid that you would leave me. But you need to know, there's nothing between Lisa and me. I have you in my heart, and I hope you won't break it. Braden, I don't know what to say or how to feel. You didn't do anything wrong, but I still feel very hurt by listening to you. I have no claim to anything but only your voice. I miss you when you're not with me. I too am falling for you, but I am scared too. I can't deal with being hurt. Things are moving so fast, and we have no control over anything. We are stealing moments from moments, feeding our souls and convincing ourselves that we are alive. Brad, are we? Braden's mind was completely scrambled, and the torment was limited by the distance to be with his love. He forgot where he was or the people by the table waiting for his return. He didn't care. His Josephine was dangling on a thread, and he's desperate to pull her back. "Peb, I promise not to hurt you, but I need to tell you the truth, even if it may leave you hurt and bruised. It would be easier for me to lie, but that's not what I wanted. Was it selfish of me to take that chance and possibly lose you? Maybe. But I wanted you to know the real me, who is completely in love with you. At the speed of sound, I can still hear you. I can crumble the last 3 months into an hour, but it would still be the most fulfilling hour of my entire life. Brad, I need time to think because I'm consumed with feelings for you. My mind is not clear. We need to slow down so I can breathe the air that has less fantasy and more reality. Brad, can you give me that? This pause, does it mean a breakup? Have we even started to qualify to have a breakup? I don't want to let a single day go by without talking to you. You said you want to breathe, but in my world, I can't know that you're not there. Brad, please give me that space. I need it. Good night, Brad. The off-hook tone sounded like a chainsaw cutting through Broaden's heart. He slowly drops his hand away from his ear. It felt like a 200-pound dumbbell, and he held it up for almost 30 minutes. Emily didn't know what she should do. Stop Lisa from leaving or letting her go, and she may never see her again. She could see that Braden was off his phone and looking strained and stressed. As he made his way back to the table, Lisa stopped in his tracks. "Bradley, I don't even want to know what that was about. Your call was more important than me, obviously. This was our last night," she said. "And you gave it to someone else. I am leaving." Braden managed only to hear every other word that Lisa said. It didn't sound good. Somehow he felt guilty about something. "Lisa," he said quietly. "You leave now because you wanted to and not because I made you leave, so that we are clear I love you, but not in the way I should have. We are complete opposites. I want to be the devil and you want to be the angel. In truth, we are both playing the wrong part. Lisa, I will miss you." Lisa paused for a long moment to place Braden, face into her memory like a painting on a canvas. Her heart was steely cold, hard, and with much anger. Lisa turned and walked to the bar and then called for a taxi with her cell. Emily sat by the table, watching Braden's reaction. He didn't seem bothered by the drama. His mind was occupied with his own script that had left him cold and alone. "Hey, Braden, are you okay? I don't know what happened tonight, but I think I was responsible. If I hadn't come over and interrupted you guys, none of this would have happened, I think. Emily, go home. Please, I need to be alone." Braden realized that he had heard that line not long ago, and it wasn't pleasant to listen to it. "Emily, wait. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You have nothing to do with how I'm feeling right now. I promise that I will tell you at another time. Right now, it would be best that I should be alone because I'm not very good company to have around." Braden managed to flash a smile. Emily held out her hand for Braden's. She held it up to her cheeks and then smiled. "Braden, you owe me a story and you promised to tell it. Okay, not right now, but you will when you're ready. Good night, Brad. Emily leans over and kisses Braden on his left cheek. Unfortunately, Lisa saw the whole thing from the bar while waiting for her taxi. Emily, not knowing that Lisa had witnessed her kissing Braden, walked over to Lisa to say goodnight. The two got into an argument soon after while Braden sat by the window. He was completely oblivious to the drama developed by the bar between Emily and Lisa. He reached for his phone. There were no messages. Enough is enough. I am not giving up. I'm all in. Braden started dialing Josephine's number. Brad, I told you I want time to myself. Pebby, just let me talk, please. I love you, that's all I know. I think that's all you need to know, too. I don't care how crazy this is. No, it's not logical, nor does it make any sense. I don't care. I just want you. I want to see you. Josephine was in a daze when she heard Braden say he wanted to meet her. Perhaps this was the match she needed to keep the candle burning. Meanwhile, the drama between Lisa and Emily had escalated to a shouting match. Lisa grabbed her purse and then stormed towards the exit. Emily looked over to see that Braden was back on his phone. She was almost in tears, not knowing what to do and felt guilty that this was her fault. Brad, don't say things that you don't mean and don't say. Emily looked over to see that Braden was back on his phone. She was almost in tears, not knowing what to do and felt guilty that this was her fault. Brad, don't say things that you don't mean and don't say it just to keep me talking. But say it if you really want to. So what are you saying? Jose, I want to see you in February. In fact, let's make it for the 14th on the open deck at the Empire State Building. It's corny and a bit of a cliche, but I don't care. It's a little like the movie, an affair to remember, but I sure hope the ending will be different. Brad, do you mean it? Screeching tire sounds could be heard outside. People were yelling for an ambulance as people gathered around on the sidewalk. Emily exited the restaurant to see what the commotion was all about. Jose, I want to see you so I can tell you in person that I love you. I will book my ticket and hotel in Manhattan tomorrow. It's time that we make this real. I want us to be real. Emily came rushing back into the restaurant in tears. Braden looked up to realize that Emily was still in the restaurant and she was in distress about something. Braden put his arm in the air, signaling as if what's wrong while holding onto his phone. Brad, what's wrong? What's all that noise? Hello? Jose, hang on for a second. Emily quickly ran over to Braden. He stood to greet her as she wrapped her arms around his neck while tears kept falling. Braden, is everything okay? Brad couldn't hear Josephine speaking on the phone as his arm was tugged under Emily's hug. Emily, what's wrong? What's going on? Under all the sobbing and tearing, it was hard to hear what Emily was trying to say. Emily, breathe, slow down, tell me what happened. After a few long breaths, Emily regained her voice. It's Lisa, she's on the street. Okay, Lisa is on the street and what about it? Emily, you need to make sense of what you're saying. What are you saying? Hello, Brad. I can hear you, but what the hell is going on? Jose was getting frustrated. At one moment, she's dreaming of meeting Braden in about 6 weeks, then hell seemed to have broken loose right after. Brad, it's Lisa. She got hit by a car when she tried to flag down a taxi. I don't know what happened, but she's lying on the street outside. Oh my God, what have I done? Brad raised his phone to his ear. Peb, I'm sorry, I have to go now. Lisa got hit by a car outside. I have to call you back. Braden hung up immediately after his last words. Brad, wait, hello? Hello, Brad. Josephine sank back into the tub. The water had gotten cold, but she hadn't noticed. She leaned over her thighs with her face against her knees, then started crying. Uncontrollable sobbing from emotions that are so overwhelming that they strip away any faith or hope. This love's ending had become worse than the movie An Affair to Remember. Once outside, Braden cleared through the crowd. A body on the ground was slightly over 6 feet in front of a black BMW. He immediately noticed Lisa's red dress, which looked more crimson than red in the dark. In the distance, the sound of a siren was getting closer. Emily grabbed Braden's left arm, which made him look over his shoulder. He was in shock. The progression of the entire day had been heaven and hell, and he had no words to express his feelings. Was it my fault? I don't know anymore. Emily, you should go home. I will call you in the morning. I will go in the ambulance with Lisa. Just go. Take a taxi and go home to get some rest. Braden gave Emily his cell phone so she could punch in her number. The flashing lights from the ambulance were flooding the walls and the glass front window of Phil's pub. Two paramedics came running to attend to the victim and checked for vitals. She's still alive. I have a heartbeat. Let's move, stat. Does anyone know this person? Braden looked back to see Emily get into a taxi. As it drove in front of the scene, Broaden saw Emily's face looking through the window. She was still crying. "Hey, I know the victim. Her name is Lisa Kingsley. I'm her boyfriend." "Okay, and what's your name?" "Broaden." "My name is Broaden Beckett. Lisa is my girlfriend. Can I come with you in the ambulance?" "Sure thing. We need you to identify her when we get to the hospital," sent Michael. One of the paramedics handed Lisa's purse to Broaden. He took it and noticed that it was opened with an envelope sticking out. As he tried to put it back into the purse, he noticed the writing across the front of the envelope, clearly written with "My Bradley." Lisa had perfect penmanship and always did. Broaden hopped into the ambulance and then sat along the bench bolted to the side of the vehicle. He was holding the envelope with his name on it and saw Lisa's body on the gurney with an oxygen mask over her face. Trails of dried blood stained over her forehead, just below her hairline. The quiet, slow beeps of the heart monitor gave way to Broaden's sobbing sounds under his breath. The ambulance doors slammed shut with a sound that felt final. Broaden flinched, not because of the noise, but because the world outside disappeared instantly, swallowed by metal walls and fluorescent light. Inside, everything was too bright, too sharp, too real. The siren wailed as the vehicle lurched forward and Lisa's body shifted slightly on the gurney, restrained, fragile, terrifyingly still. His chest tightened. A paramedic adjusted the oxygen mask over Lisa's face. Another monitored the slow, metronomic beeping of the heart monitor. The sound became the rhythm of Broaden's thoughts, each beep another accusation. "Still alive. Still here, because of you." "I should have walked her out," he murmured, not realizing he'd spoken aloud. One of the paramedics glanced at him but said nothing. The guilt didn't arrive all at once. It assembled itself methodically, piece by piece, like a verdict being built by evidence he could no longer refute. He saw the night rewind in brutal clarity. Lisa was sitting across from him at the table, trying not to beg for something she deserved without asking, her patience stretched thin by his silence. Her eyes tracked him as he stood to take the call, that call already knowing, already losing, Emily's questions. Emily's smile. Emily's kiss on his cheek, Lisa watching from the bar, Lisa walking out alone. He pressed his fingers into his temples as if pressure could undo time. "I should have gone after her. I should have hung up. I should have told the truth sooner. I should have never brought her here, Phil's pub, of all places." The irony was cruel enough to feel intentional. They had chosen that restaurant because it mattered, because it was sacred and dangerous and honest, because it held their past like a loaded gun. And he had walked right into it, carrying someone else's heart in his pocket. The siren wailed louder as the ambulance hit an intersection. Broaden's stomach lurched. "I did this," he whispered again. The words heavier now. This time the paramedic answered not with blame, but with fact. "Accidents happen," she said evenly. "Don't go there." Broaden was already there. Accidents were random. This was a chain reaction. He looked at Lisa's face, pale beneath the harsh lights, dried blood tracing an unforgiving line along her forehead. Her lashes rested against her cheeks, motionless. A woman who once laughed too loudly, who challenged him without mercy, who loved him without safety, was reduced to fragile quiet, because he couldn't choose cleanly, because he wanted everything. The envelope trembled in his hand. "Lisa, I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry." His breath collapsed into a sound somewhere between a sob and a gasp. She had come prepared to lose him, and he hadn't even dared to let her leave safely. Broaden realized something else, something colder, sharper, Josephine. The phone call. The promise. February. Empire State Building. Love declared into the void. He had asked her to be real while Lisa was bleeding on asphalt. The realization hit with surgical precision. He wasn't just guilty of indecision. He was guilty of overlapping truths, of letting one woman believe she was the future while another was still bleeding from the past. That was when the guilt finally crystallized, no longer panic, no longer confusion, but something solid and permanent. Responsibility. His shoulders folding inward like a man finally accepting the weight he'd been avoiding. This wasn't about bad timing. This wasn't about jealousy. This wasn't about fate being cruel. This was about him, about wanting to be loved without paying the cost of honesty, about choosing emotion over accountability. About standing still while other people moved and got hurt. Broaden bowed his head, the envelope resting against his heart like an indictment. "I don't get to be the victim," he said quietly to no one. "Not tonight." And in that moment, stripped of romance and excuses, Broaden understood something devastatingly clear. No matter who he loved next, no matter who stayed or left, Lisa would always be the price of his hesitation.